Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with John Foley of the Safer Buildings Coalition. John, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you, Donnie. It's nice to be here.
So, John, with the Safer Buildings Coalition, you guys have done an incredible amount of work advocating for in-building communication systems that support both the first responder as well as the ability for citizens to communicate inside facilities so that they can dial 911 during times of emergency and, frankly, receive alert notifications. I noticed that today you guys are issuing a special call to action. Can you tell us what this is about?
Yeah, sure can, Donnie, and thanks. And yeah, Safer Buildings Coalition is a 501c4 nonprofit focused on eliminating wireless dead zones inside buildings. And as you mentioned, we're very concerned about both the public's ability to communicate as well as first responders. 911 calls have to get out. You know, location accuracy is important. Mass notification text messages and alerts have to get in, and first responder communications have to work, regardless of whether you're using traditional push-to-talk land mobile radio or, more recently, cellular networks like FirstNet. But today's initiative is one of the more ambitious things that Safer Buildings has ever done. The systems that have been deployed in building to make sure that there are no coverage gaps, the FCC calls those signal boosters. And in 2013, the FCC issued a report and order that affirmed the local government's authority to adopt ordinances or building or fire codes that require these signal boosters could be installed to ensure first responders have reliable communications inside the buildings. And while many buildings have benefited from signal booster deployment, there have been some recurring challenges. The increase in incidents where improperly deployed signal boosters have degraded or in some cases actually totally disrupted public safety radio systems is very concerning. So the purpose of the position paper is to lay down 18 key principles for safe and effective in-building communications, and to address this problem of harmful noise in an affirmative way.
Okay, all right. So how do you do that? I mean, can you get the license holders more involved in overseeing these in-building systems go in, or how does that work?
Yeah, and that's exactly what needs to happen. Back in 2009, fire code began to include requirements for building owners and local jurisdictions to take steps to cure for a lack of in-building wireless coverage for first responders. These got written into the fire code. And somehow along the way, the FCC rules that are very, very clear that the FCC license holder is the only entity authorized to allow their license frequencies to be rebroadcast. Somehow they got left out of the dialogue, and the focus has been more on the fire code side. So just to be clear, FCC rules do allow building owners to install systems that repeat signals inside the buildings, but only with the permission of the license holder themselves, the frequency license holder in the jurisdiction. So we're trying to get this thing back on the rails and make sure that the license holders are front and center of any of these efforts, because essentially any of these devices, any kind of an amplifier for these frequencies that you might put in the building become a de facto extension of that public safety network. And the license holder is responsible for every bit of the function of that network, from the tower all the way through to the handset, the push-to-talk radio. And that includes if that first responder with the radio walks into a building and it happens to go through some sort of a repeater or an amplifier system. The license holder is responsible for that. And only the license holder has a good macro view of the entire serving area to make sure that the solution is chosen blends in perfectly with the entire macro network. And that is really where the problem starts, because so many of these systems are done on a building-by-building basis. In some cases, the license holder has no knowledge that it's going in. And these systems, particularly in buildings that are clustered together closely, they can interact with each other, and that's mm-hmm. a problem.
Right. Well, and you mentioned that the license holder has the macro view, but really they only have the macro view of their network, right? And as opposed to some of the ones that are adjacent either geographically or by frequency?
I'm not sure what you mean by that. Do you mean adjacent jurisdictions, Donnie?
No, in terms of the nearby systems, in terms of, hey, I know that it's not interfering with my macro network, but I don't know whether it's interfering with licensee XYZ's network in terms of, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, if you think about the service contour of any FCC license, there's going to be a defined area that the license holder can operate their frequencies within a geographic boundary. Okay, and it's true there may be multiple agencies with different frequencies that have been assigned within the same geography. For example, you could have the fire department, the police department, county radio system, state police, or whatever. And they may overlap. So they certainly have to be aware of each other. But in general, when you're talking about these in-building systems, there needs to be advice given to the building owner and the vendor about which frequencies are going to be rebroadcast on the system. And then any license holder that's on that list then should be involved ultimately in what solution is chosen, how it's designed, how it's configured, and how it's tested, and on a day-two basis, how it's monitored for any problems.
Okay. And how do people ensure, hey, I'm designing this system correctly in building, both in terms of making sure that I have people that actually know what they're doing, putting these things in, and frankly, are the all the license holders, particularly, I think, whether it's LMR urban or LMR licensees or commercial LTE carriers, are they providing the kind of guidance, frankly, to necessary for a building owner to know, okay, if I put this in, I'm doing my job, and I'm not gonna mess up anybody else's system.
That's you really got into the heart of the position paper, Donnie. Some jurisdictions are doing this very well. Some jurisdictions are struggling, and some jurisdictions haven't even begun to enforce these rules yet. And so the purpose of the 18 principles is to lay out some of the hard-fought lessons learned about what can set the table properly to make sure that all the things that you just discussed happen. For example, every system should be documented. Currently, the FCC rules only require that a Class B system be registered in the FCC's signal booster database. And in the 2013 order, they indicated that at that time they wouldn't require Class A amplifiers to be registered because they didn't see them as a source of potential interference. But in reality, any signal booster that's installed either on the commercial cellular side or the public safety side can interact with the macro networks, both the cellular networks and the public safety networks, and with each other. So I think what we're learning is they all have to be registered. In terms of the competency of the people that are doing the work, there's been a 15% to 20% year-over-year growth in building public safety system deployments and projects. So, there's a lot of people that are being attracted into the industry, and so the average level of experience is declining, and we need to work on that. We need to work on the competency that's also covered in the 18 principles. So there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of hard-fought lessons learned. When you start doing projects, you skin your knees on a couple of problems, you resolve them, and then hopefully you share those lessons learned with others, and that's the purpose of the task force, is to bring the right stakeholders together into the conversation, to look over these 18 principles, see if they need to be tweaked, come out with and emerge with a final version, and then get a lot of buy-in across all of the stakeholder groups to set the system up for success across the country.
Okay. And how can people get involved?
If you go to saferbuildings.org/ no noise, you can download the position paper, and you can actually register your interest in participating in the task force who's going to take this problem on. And I know it doesn't translate well by voice, but hopefully you can provide that link at the top of your article. It's saferbuildings.org/no-noise, and you can find out more.
Absolutely, we will. And so what kind of people are you looking for to be on this task force?
We are certainly starting off with the frequency license holders and the radio system administrators themselves. They are and should be front and center of anything to do with anything that touches the network. All of us take very seriously that lives are on the line here when these systems function correctly or when they don't function correctly. And it's the frequency license holder that has the ultimate authority over those. But after that, the codes and standards bodies, the fire and building code officials, public safety agencies, and first responders themselves. And then from there you move to the industry members involved in the manufacturing, engineering, furnishing, and installing of signal boosters. The federal agencies and authorities, the FCC, FirstNet Authority, NIST, DHS, PSCR, all those groups. The wireless broadband carriers, these systems interact with carrier networks is one of the issues, and vice versa. But also, wireless commercial cellular services are now being used for public safety. You know, FirstNet a prime example, but Verizon, T-Mobile, all of these companies provide services that are used by first responders. So need to be aware of each other. There's certainly some very strong related industry associations. The International Association of Fire Chiefs, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, APCO, and others are certainly important. And finally, the property owners and managers themselves.
Well, absolutely. So I guess, you've created this position paper, very, very impressive, 18 points, and then you've got the task force. I guess, where do you see this going ultimately? Do you see this as legislation, regulation? How do you see fire code more in the fire codes? How do you see this actually being implemented?
So the fire codes are already being modified to address and take this issue on. NFPA is coming out with a new volume, NFPA 1225, and that's going to be a 5-year lifespan document that will very clearly bring back into focus the central role of the frequency license holder. And so there's some of it's going to happen in fire code, but some of it could be some tweaks to the FCC rules. As I already mentioned, FCC rules only require that Class B systems be registered, but we believe that should be expanded to include Class A, and in fact, all signal boosters of any kind. We need to be able to quickly locate and identify them when they become a source of interference. So some of it's going to be regulatory. And then finally, the states themselves or the local jurisdictions are going to have to take a look at their processes. A lot of this is decided on a state-by-state or a jurisdiction-by-jurisdiction basis. And, those local organizations are going to have to create policies and procedures that are consistent and easy to locate and identify. So the 18 principles talk about how to create a consistent group of standards and to make them readily available and an easy way to find.
Okay. And when you say consistent group of standards and things, is there any Are we talking about retrofitting things that buildings that already exist, or are we talking, yeah, we're going to go ahead and grandfather them, and frankly, it could be a very long time before we can actually get this implemented across the country?
Well, I think what we're talking about here is creating standards that are good for the purpose and getting them documented and out there and creating processes that make it easier to do this correctly on a repetitive basis. And yeah, some of the systems out there might need to go back and take a look and tweak. But for the most part, what we're trying to do is set a course for moving forward.
All right. Well, John, this is terrific stuff. Congratulations on getting this far, but I know you guys are really, this is more of a starting point than an end point. You guys got a lot of work ahead of you, but congrats on getting this far, and good luck with the call to action.
Thank you, Donnie, and thanks for taking time to discuss this with us today.
Thanks.